A few years ago, one of the kids in my online coaching program said to me, "Coach Rebecca, I wish we could just go to a gym and have you as our coach. We would all be so happy and so confident." And that warmed my heart, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, that would be the best." And that comment stuck with me for years. So now I'm going to do something about it. I am inviting gymnasts from all over the country to join me for the first ever Confident Gymnast Camp this August 3rd and 4th. This camp is all about breaking through mental blocks. So if you're struggling with a skill and you want me and my team to help you break through in real time, then check out confidentgymnast.com for details. Hi guys, on today's podcast, I'm going to give you some suggestions on how to help your shy or quiet athlete start speaking up. Because when they have a solid, confident voice that they can rely on, when they have strong boundaries, when they know what they need and how to ask for it, confidence in sport and life will increase exponentially. Here we go. Welcome to the Perform Happy podcast, where athletes and their support squad come to learn the secret weapon for sport success. I'm your host, Rebecca Smith. First, I was a scaredy cat gymnast, then a coach. Now I'm a sports psychology expert and a parent. Athletes, whether you're feeling stuck or you're having the best season of your life, I'm here to help you reach peak performance and maximum enjoyment. Hey guys, I'm Coach Rebecca. Happy Tuesday. I am here with you today to talk about how to get your athlete to speak up. Now, I know this is a big issue because I've found I lost my voice as a result of my childhood. And a lot of what caused me to lose my voice was very well intentioned. It's this concept of like, don't make waves, don't disappoint people, just figure it out. Don't ask for help, just figure it out. Don't be an inconvenience. So something that inspired me to do this talk today was I was on a free consultation call today with an athlete who was so sweet, so wonderful. And she was dealing with some injuries, and these were basically overuse injuries that had been caused in certain joints. And so I just started talking to her and I was like, okay, so, you know, like when it starts to hurt, what do you do? She's like, I'm like, let me guess. You keep going and then you hope it will stop hurting, or you hope that it will be over soon enough so that you can just get the assignment done and get on to the next thing. She's like, exactly. And so I talked to her about, like, what would your coach say? And she just got all like, and the coaches sounded lovely. They didn't sound like, you know, really super scary coaches. It wasn't a situation where like, oh, I would be quiet too with those coaches. It was just that she sort of feared these general negative consequences. That's what I hear in these athletes, that they don't want to look like a sissy. They don't want to look like they're not tough. So they just do the assignment. They do the warm-up. They do the tumbling. They do their beam series, even though it hurts. And then what happens is that their brain starts to go like, hey, that hurts. And they're like, yeah. But I just got to get it done. And then I can move on to the next thing. And then the brain's like, no, really, that hurts a lot. And they're like, yeah, but I don't want to get in trouble. And I don't want to be disappointing. And I don't want the coaches to think I don't care, or I'm not trying hard enough. And then finally, the brain's like, fine, then I'm just going to stop you. You're not tumbling. And so what she noticed was that she actually started freezing up on the skills that were painful. Now, there are two reasons why athletes develop mental blocks. Broadly speaking, one is fear of pain and one is not enough information. So if your brain thinks that you're going to be in pain, it's going to start putting the brakes on for you if you're not putting them on yourself. And then if there's not enough info about, am I going to be okay? Am I confident enough? Your brain is going to take matters into its own hands and just kind of put the brakes on and have you slow it on down. So yes, there's this like, I don't want to upset people. I don't want to disappoint people. I don't want to inconvenience my coaches. Very well-meaning athletes. But what happens is this leads to low confidence. It leads to anxiety. It leads to low self-esteem and feeling like, well, my voice isn't that important, so I'm not going to speak it up. Okay. And so then like, let's say this athlete really wanted to speak up. You know, maybe the doctor gave a really clear guidelines of this is, you know, on the pain scale, you need to be here. And if you're not, then you got to stop. I'm like, sometimes it's very, very helpful for these athletes to have very specific instructions from a doctor or a PT. So if you have an injured athlete, get specific instructions. Like if you get to a 4 out of 10, I'm not a doctor. This is just like an example. But if they were to say, You know, you get to a 4 out of 10, you have to stop or modify. And then the athlete knows, okay, if I get to a 4, then you can start talking about how will you have that conversation. When you are in pain actively, how can you actually speak to your coach? And that way they can, you know, start to have a solution rather than feeling like they are the problem and that their injury is inconvenient. So then let's say the kid knows, okay, when I'm at a 4 out of 10, I got to say something. But they're like, how do I act like an adult speaking to an adult when I'm not an adult and I don't know what to say? When they ask me a question, I just say, I don't know, because I don't want to say the wrong thing. Also, you know, one problem I see is that maybe there was a negative experience around speaking up. Like I was observing in a gym and I, you know, I told this girl, I'm being like, go see it. Go ask your coach if you can do something slightly easier, because this is obviously a little much for you. This is a little scary for you right now. She went over, she asked, the coach said no, and she was in tears. So it was like, okay, I spoke up, but then the coach said no. Now what? Now it's even worse and I never want to speak up again. They might have increased anxiety because they tried speaking up and it didn't go well. So what I find is most of these athletes, they have this strategy. I'm going to wait until my coach figures out what I need and offer it to me. Until then, I will tough it out and hopefully I won't cry. And if I cry, they'll probably figure it out faster. And that's not a very effective strategy, especially when you're dealing with overuse injury, you're dealing with fear, you're dealing with anxiety. All that happens is all of those things get worse and worse and worse. And then maybe your coach finally figures it out, but then they're like, what's wrong? And you're like, I don't know. And they're like, I don't know how to help you. This communication skill is critical, is what I'm getting at. This communication skill is critical for sport success, for safety, for health, for happiness. You must be able to communicate. It is absolutely a pillar of confidence. So for you parents who also struggle with assertiveness, I know a lot of it's like the fruit doesn't fall too far from the tree or whatever. So if you struggle with your own assertiveness, I'm going to give some tips to athletes and parents. You can benefit from these too. So first tip I'll give you to help your athlete strengthen their ability to communicate is to talk about boundaries with them. Talk about boundaries, you know, in terms of like, here's our property line and here's our neighbor's property line. And so like, we don't go over there and they don't come over here unless we have permission. You know, something that's huge in my family is we talk about bodily autonomy. My 2.5-year-old knows the phrase bodily autonomy. I don't know if she knows what those words mean, but she knows what it means in our house, which is no means no. If you don't want to hug grandma, you don't have to hug grandma. If you don't want to kiss from dad, you don't have to have a kiss from dad. If you don't want your sister, you know, sitting on your shoulder, you get to say that. And in our house, no means no immediately. You know, dad's tickling. If they say stop, he stops. And then they go, go. And then he tickles and they say stop and he stops immediately. Because, you know, just with the history in the sport of gymnastics of, you know, abuse and I don't even want to go there, but like, that's something that is so important to me that I'm like, my girls are going to know about no means no. And they're going to be like, bodily autonomy. That's what I want. So they know this is my personal boundary. This is my physical boundary. This is my emotional boundary. You know, I want my girls to be able to know, you know, if your friend is insulting you, it is within your right to speak up. If your sister is being rude, it is within your right to say, please don't speak to me that way. I don't like when you talk to me that way. And then also, if your friend doesn't stop, you know, if your friend is still making jokes that hurt your feelings, it is also within your right to stop being friends with that person. These are things that I want my girls to know, because if they know what their boundaries are, then they can stand up for them. If they know this is what's right for me and this is what's not right for me, and then someone's crossing that, then they're empowered to speak. If they don't really know what the boundaries are and they think, well, coaches can do whatever they want and I'm just a kid, nah, you are in charge of your body and nobody can make you do anything that you don't want to do, including a back handspring on a beam, you know, which might be inconvenient for some coaches, but they have to know this is my body and this is what I can do with it. Okay. Then you can also talk to them about why assertiveness is important. I know a lot of very sweet, very kind, very respectful girls and boys who feel like being assertive is the same as being rude, or being direct is being rude. And I, you know, I have a couple friends in my life who they will tell me, like, I didn't like when you did that. And I'm like, I don't like her. She's so rude. Like, that's typically the reaction when somebody's direct, like, oh, they're so rude. But really, they're not rude. They just have firm boundaries. And as I've evolved as a human, I'm like, I like the girls with strong boundaries. I like the friends who are going to say no if they are not available, rather than being like, sure, yeah, I'll come. And then they cancel last minute. You know, I like to surround myself with people who have boundaries. My little girls are learning boundaries too. Now, for example, if one of my girls is trying to like snatch something from the other, she's like, well, she's not sharing. I'm like, she doesn't have to share. if she's got that, like there's, you don't have to be passive. If you don't want to share yet, you can be respectful and say, no, thanks. You can have it next. I want to make sure that my girls know you do not have to give something away that you don't want to give away yet. You can be respectful about it, but you can say, no, thank you. I'm going to why don't you work on that? Or I'll give this to you in a minute. I like that. And I praise that. And that's something too, is to praise assertions. And if your adolescent or teenager is giving you an assertion like, I want this, same as 2-year-olds who are like, I don't want to put on my underwear. You're like, yeah, well, you have to, but I'm going to say, I can acknowledge that you don't want to do it. I get it. I totally can relate. I've been there where I didn't want to do it either. I love you. And this is what we have to do now. We have to put on your underwear. We have to get in the car. We have to turn out the light, whatever it is. Allow them to be assertive and don't shut them down about it. Be like, I appreciate your enthusiasm on this topic. I appreciate your point of view. And this is my boundary as your parent, and praising them for standing up for what they believe in, even if it's not quite right, even if it's not something you agree with, that's something that lets them know being assertive is good as long as you're respectful, but it doesn't always get you everything that you want. So along the same lines, encourage them to express their feelings. In my house, we don't ever say stop crying. Well, at least we try not to. I'm sure I've said it in a moment, but we don't want to be like, stop crying, calm down, because in a safe place, like when you're at home, that's where you do the crying. That's where you do the venting. That's where you do the yelling. I've talked to athletes who are like, I just want my parent to not get mad at me for venting about practice. It's like if they come home and they had a bad day and they're venting, they're like, oh, I hate my coach and this is so stupid. Their parents like, well, why are we paying so much for this? Don't do that. Let them have their venting. Let them be angry. Let them be sad in that safe place that you've created for them to feel, process, express, and then move on. After they off gas that energy, then they'll be like, okay, dinner, bed, and we're going back tomorrow. Rather than trying to squash them down, allow that, allow the assertiveness, allow the emotion, because that's what's going to help them become confident communicators. Ben, here's one thing that came up a couple months ago in our Perform Happy Parents Q&A. Every month we have the parents come and bring questions and we have a big jam session on all things sport parenting, adolescent parenting, teen parenting. And one of the parents was like, my daughter will not make decisions. She does not make decisions. She lets us make all the decisions. And what that's about is fear. They don't want to make the wrong decision. So the parents have kind of, gotten the habit of like, okay, well, we'll make the final decision for you. I'm going to challenge you to put your child in charge of those decisions. Don't jump in to save them. You can use your active listening. You can repeat back what you're hearing from them. You can kind of weigh the pros and cons with them, but you let them come up with their own conclusions, even if it's a stupid plan. Even if you're like, that's not going to work, let them come up with their own conclusions and lessons. And they get to then grow as a human when they're like, ooh, that was the wrong choice, mom. And you're like, that's okay. You learned. Because then they're not afraid of making those decisions. They're not afraid of putting themselves out there, because then they're going to make a mistake and they're going to feel sheepish or whatever. And they're going to survive it and go, okay, I failed, but I'm okay. We've moved through it. Also, I know this goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. Don't place your self-worth on your child. Their mistakes are not your mistakes. If your child makes a mistake, it's not because you failed. It's because you encouraged them to take a risk. You encouraged them to do something challenging. So I would say that's a success. I will never forget one of the swim parents I worked with years ago, who was like, well, what if he forgets his goggles? He's so forgetful. If I don't put everything in his swim bag, he's going to forget his goggles. And I'm like, then he forgets his goggles. And hopefully next time he doesn't forget them, because he's like, oh, that was terrible when I forgot my goggles. Make sure I have them. But you're not going to be with him in college packing his swim bag, right? So allowing them to make their own mistakes is one of the best things you can do for them that will set them up for success in college, that will set them up for better coping skills. Allow them to make decisions and allow them to make mistakes. That will help them to be more positive risk takers, to get out of their comfort zone a little bit. So I talked a little bit about, the coach that said no. And then the poor kid who comes to me in tears and is like, she said no. If you teach your athlete how to manage emotions and handle disappointment, then those risks, they're still going to be willing to take them. And I said to that girl in tears, I was like, you succeeded. You asked. That's all we can do, right? You asked. She said no. And then guess what happens? Maybe 10 minutes later, coach is like, okay, fine, grab the mat. You can do it. Coach had a change of heart. And so I could have been, because I was standing there, maybe not, But I loved watching that, how I was like, well, what do you think you need? You need this? Okay, go ask your coach. She's like, oh, she asks the coach. Coach says, no, she's in tears. She moves on. She's like, okay, well, that didn't work. Let's try this. And then coach turns around, lets her try it. And she gets up and she's successful. And it was this whole like amazing learning experience that happened in that moment. The coach learned something. The kid learned something. I learned something. I mean, this whole, all of those moments that are challenging, especially that require up-leveled communication, those kids, they grow so much. So teach them, how do you communicate anger respectfully? You know, if your sister takes your thing, you can say, I did not like when you did that. Can you please not do that again? It's obviously, we work up to this. It's not always that easy. How to communicate sadness. Like, oh, I just feel so sad, mommy. Can I have a hug? How to be respectful and say to the coach, you know, I don't think I'm ready for that yet. And then learn how to handle the disappointment when people don't give you the answer that you want. If you have great coping skills, you have better confidence and you're willing to take more steps out of your comfort zone, you know, and have a plan. Okay, if the coach says no, here's how I'll deal. I'll ask her about this. I'll try it this way. I'll do this. Like, I'm all about having a plan A, B, C, D, and E. So then if plan A doesn't work, we don't have to be in tears. We can. It's okay. Feelings happen. Then you're like, okay, on to plan B, you know, and you just keep at it. And then my favorite little tip here that I'll give you, and this is something I'm going to do in a couple of weeks in one of our live group trainings in Perform Happy. I'm like pumped about it. I started writing up my chat for today and was like, oh, I'm doing this with the group. Empower your athlete to do the communicating with their coach. If your athlete is above age 9, you no longer need to be the liaison, at least 12. You know, maybe it depends on the maturity level, but I would say start the baby steps age 8, age 9, giving your athlete opportunities to practice speaking up. So this doesn't even have to just be around sports. You can, if you're calling in takeout, have your 10-year-old call in the order. You know, if you have to relay a message to a friend's mom, have your 10-year-old or your 11-year-old relay the message. You know, my mom said this just to get them like participating basically in the communication. And then my favorite thing to do is to role play. So let's say you know that your athlete has a difficult conversation coming up. Like they're coming back from an injury and they're going to have to manage their training a little more than usual, or they're dealing with fear or a mental block and they're going to have to speak up a little bit so that they can manage their fear and build their confidence at their own pace. If you know that's coming, have a little role play where, you know, mom plays the coach and the kid plays the kid and then switch, you know, like it can be really funny too. Make it fun, make it funny. See if you can just like have different moments where you're like, be the really nice version of the coach first. I'm like, of course, honey. I'm like, yes, go get the mat. I have absolutely anything you need. And then be the mean coach. Like, no, you may not ever have any help. And then like, okay, what are you going to do now, kid? And that way they have an idea of their plan A, their plan B, their plan C, how it might actually go so that they can walk into that situation feeling like I'm going to ask for this. And if they say no, I'll be okay. If they say yes, I'll be ecstatic. And then one last thing that they can do is actually imagine the conversation in their own mind going well. And we've done this with athletes in Perform Happy too. One who had to have a tough conversation with her mom. She was so terrified her mom was going to get mad. And we were like, okay, do your imagery, role play with us in the group. And then everybody was on the little group chat. We're like, go for it. Let us know how it goes. And then she like texts the group and she's like, it went amazing. My mom was not like, it was so great. Couldn't have gone better. So having all of that in your back pocket can make those difficult conversations all the better. So that is my 2 cents on ways to get your athlete to start speaking up. Baby steps, little challenges. Allow them to make their own mistakes, make their own decisions, help them to be empowered to have those slightly challenging conversations now so that the harder ones get easier and easier over time. All right, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me. Reach out if you have any questions or topic requests. I'm live every Tuesday on the Complete Performance Coaching Facebook group and in our private Facebook group, the Sport Confidence Accelerator. If you want to get in there and get extra tips and goodies, that's where we post all kinds of free content. So thanks again for joining and I will see you soon. Bye. Thank you so much for joining me for this week's episode of the Perform Happy Podcast. If you're ready to unlock your maximum sport potential, head over to performhappy.com and join us. You'll be training alongside world champion athletes and Olympic hopefuls. And I will personally take you through my research-based system for overcoming fear and mental blocks, building confidence, and finding your flow. I'm Coach Rebecca Smith, and I'll see you next time.